Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Living out in the middle of nowhere like I have for most of my life will teach you things that you just won't learn in the city. It'll keep you just a little more alert in a different way. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. It's great to see you back here for another episode. Today, these viewers sent in some allegedly true and creepy stories from the middle of nowhere. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from the middle of nowhere, a small town, or something completely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true middle of nowhere stories that'll keep you in your city tonight. A few years ago, my friend and I decided we were going to take a drive out to this old abandoned mining facility in the middle of the Arizona desert. This friend and I had grown up exploring all kinds of abandoned and or haunted locations, and had seen some pretty weird and creepy things over the years. But after what happened to us those few days in the desert, we agreed to never mess with anything supernatural ever again. This mine was about 20 miles off any road, so we decided that we would drive up as far as we could and then trek in with our gear and spend a few nights there before heading back. We planned to leave mid-morning so we could end our hike by dark, but we ended up sleeping in and leaving way later than expected. By the time we actually started to near the point on the road which we would ditch the car, it was already pretty dark. We weren't too bothered by this, I guess, as the weather would be much cooler without the sun beating down on us. For context, the road we were using was essentially a dirt path, and I doubt it had been used by anyone in years. We had to use an old map my buddy had to even find it. It was about 10 p.m. and we were getting close to our destination, so we were pretty excited. I was driving and my friend was in charge of the music. He had put on some classic rock and we were both singing along to get pumped for the hike, when all of a sudden, I see this coyote turn and stop in the middle of our headlights. I slam on the brakes and try to avoid hitting it, but by the time I noticed it, there was no way we were going to be able to miss it. As we screeched to a stop and I turned to yell to my buddy that I swear it wasn't there a second before, it really looked like it had just appeared out of nowhere. I'm worried that we might have damaged the car when we hit it. But my friend points that we didn't hear any impact. Not wanting to be stuck in the middle of nowhere if something was wrong with the car, I tell him we should get out and check just to see. He agrees and we grab some flashlights and hop out of the car. To our surprise, there isn't any damage at all. No dents, no blood, fur, no signs that we had hit anything at all. I could have sworn I ran right through this thing, but we can't find any sign of it. Even when we walk back about 200 yards to where I should have hit it, my buddy shrugs it off and says we got lucky, and we should drive more slowly the last few miles, just in case there may be any more animals. But I have a weird feeling. Looking back, I should have just said something then. When we finally pulled the car off the side of the road to start our hike, I pretty much had forgotten all about the coyote. We were both excited to start the hike and set off in the direction of the mine. It's pretty cold in the desert at night, so we decided we'd do about 10 miles and make camp up at around 2 a.m, just so we could rest and get warm, and then do the rest in the morning. After about 2 hours, I start to get this weird feeling that we're being watched. I tell my buddy, and he tells me he's been feeling the same way. We stop and sit for a good 10 minutes to see if anything is following us. But after hearing silence the whole time, we decided it was probably just some nighttime jitters and to move on. We finally make camp, get into our tent, and head to bed. Right as I'm drifting off to sleep, I start to hear these weird noises, like a woman screaming at a really high pitch off in the distance. They go on for about 10 minutes or so, then stop, and then, probably 10 minutes again, start up. They go on for about 10 seconds, then stop for another 10, and then start up again. This goes on for a while just like that, but they seem to be getting further and further away, and begin to get so faint that I finally just drift off to sleep. In the morning I tell my friend and he tells me he didn't hear anything. I chalk it up to some weird animal sounds, and we set out again on the path. When we reach the mine, it's absolutely incredible. It's set into the side of this cliff face, and surrounded by some buildings with old broken down carts and wagons. In one of the buildings, I think it was a small saloon for the miners, we found all these really cool old bottles, and what looked like the remains of an old piano. We were able to pry open the wooden doors covering the entrance, and start exploring the mine. The boards were nailed from the inside, which we thought were really strange, as normally you'd nail something from the outside, right? We weren't sure how they managed to nail it closed that way. The outside of the mine entrance was coated in thick ash, and we figured maybe some of the wood might have caught fire in the desert sun. So we were extra cautious going into the mine, just in case the wooden support beams were compromised in any way. We didn't want to go too far in, as I've watched too many movies about people getting trapped in tunnels. So we tried not to do anything dumb. We took turns exploring the inside. One of us stayed outside in case someone got stuck. That way we could go for help if needed. The mine itself looked like it had remained pretty much untouched since it closed. There were all these old mine carts and lamps, and we even found these big pieces of paper in a slot on the wall with super faded markings that the miners must have used as time cards. A little deeper into the mine, my friend found a pickaxe that was still in working condition, and I found some old glasses and a tin box filled with tobacco and rolling papers. After we'd gone in a bit further, we realized that the rest of the tunnel had been sealed off by a cave-in of some sort. But we discovered something really strange. I found this journal that had mostly rotted away, but we could still make out some of the words on the last few pages. It read, "Day 6. Can't get out. Can still hear. 11. Deeper. Hide. Still here." It was really weird, but at least now we understood why the mine was boarded up from the inside. But it puzzled us as to why anyone would intentionally board themselves in. Poor guy must have been forced to do something and gotten trapped in. Might have been why the mine closed in the first place. We couldn't find any real records of why it had closed. Regardless, we spent the whole day there, just exploring away. When it got dark, we decided to call it a day and tell some ghost stories before we hit the sack. We were sitting around our fire talking when I heard those noises start up again. This time they were much closer than before. By this point I was truly starting to freak out, so we decided that we'd sleep in 2-hour shifts just in case something were to try to come and mess with our campsite. He took the first shift, so I tried to get some sleep. When he shook me awake at the end of his shift, he was pale as a ghost. I asked him if anything had happened and he shook his head and said no. Apparently the noises started getting closer when all of a sudden, they just stopped. He'd spent the last part of his shift clutching his knife to his chest and really wanted to leave. I told him we couldn't leave now as he was exhausted and I'd barely slept and we wouldn't make it very far anyway. We agreed that it was just better to get some rest, and I started my shift. I was comfortable just sitting in my tent watching, so I got out and lit the fire again and sat by it fiddling with my knife. I was starting to drift off when out of the corner of my eye I saw this shadow dart from around one of the buildings. I bolted straight up and turned to face the direction I saw it. After what felt like an eternity, I told myself I just must have been seeing things, and I turned back to the fire. That's when I saw it. At the edge of the fire's light, I saw this thing. It looked like a coyote, but it was all twisted out of shape. It had patchy fur and bits of flesh and muscle were dangling off of it in clumps. Normally, I'm not bothered by wild animals, and I know if you don't play with them, and if you don't give them any mind, they usually leave you alone. But this thing gave me chills. The pit of my stomach was filled with a sense of dread. I had this feeling that whatever this thing was, it was evil. I'd been so focused on looking at that I had forgotten to breathe, but when I finally did, I was greeted with the most awful smell. The stench was unbearable, like rotting meat that had set in the sun and cooked. My eyes started to water, but I didn't want to blink and lose sight of this thing. So far, it hadn't moved, but when I began to breathe, it started slowly walking towards me. I say walking, but what this thing was doing couldn't be considered walking. It moved in a strange dragging motion, kind of jumping its front legs forward and dragging its back ones behind it. I was terrified and wanted to run as far away from this creature as I could, but I was frozen. Suddenly, I felt the pain in my hand, and I realized I'd been stabbing myself with my own knife. The tip of the blade had finally punctured my hand, and I was starting to ooze blood. But the sensation brought me back, and I jumped up and screamed for my friend to get up and move. He woke up instantly and unzipped his tent to see what was up. When he poked his head out, he saw the coyote and just muttered, "Holy crap," before grabbing his knife and jumping up to join me. We turned to run, and I glanced back at the creature. It had stopped moving when I stood up, but all of a sudden, it moved, and it moved quickly. Its back legs, which had previously been dragging behind it, audibly cracked, and this is where a normal coyote would have had claws. It had shards of broken bone jutting out from long, spindly human-like fingers. It opened its mouth and let out a scream like what we had heard earlier. Up close, the scream did not seem natural, and it did not match up to the creature's mouth. It was almost out of sync, like when you're watching a movie that had been dubbed over poorly, and the character's mouths move before you hear the sound. This was kind of like this. The thing screeched, but the noise was delayed seemingly, and it didn't sound like it was coming from the actual thing at all. I lost it. My ears were stinging. I couldn't breathe. I just knew I needed to get away. We did the only thing we could think of and sprinted to the entrance of the mine. At least it could only come from one direction if we were there, and we would be safe inside the tunnel. We ran in as far as we could before we lost sight of the entrance, which was backlit by the glow of our fire. We both had our knives, and my buddy had managed to grab a flashlight, but that was all we had. We could hear it howling outside as we huddled with our backs against the wall of the mine and waited, each of us clutching our knives with white-knuckled grips. We wanted to see the silhouette of that thing highlighted against the entrance of the mine, waited for it to come, but it never did. Eventually, the fire burned out and we were plunged into complete darkness. Still, we waited. When the sun finally started to come up, we exhaled a little. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I just felt safer in the light. After the sun had finally risen, we had made our way slowly out of the tunnel and surveyed our campsite. Our tent had been torn to shreds and our gear was scattered all around. We quickly grabbed what food we had left and any essential gear and beelined it to the car. We were exhausted, but pure adrenaline carried us for 20 or so miles in that car. In about 6 hours, we sped to the nearest hotel we could find. My buddy and I agreed never to speak about this, and so far I've kept that promise, but I felt like I might get some answers here. I don't know why that thing didn't come for us in the mine, or how we survived until I started listening to other stories on this channel. I'm not sure what this thing was, but it kind of sounds like a skinwalker. But the descriptions from other people fit with the creature from my encounter. And if I understand correctly, skinwalkers have some sort of weakness to ash. This could explain why it never followed us into the mine, as maybe the old burned bits of the timber had created some sort of barrier on the entrance. I'm not sure, but I wanted to get some other opinions. Anyways, thanks for listening, and thank you, Swamp Dweller, for sharing my story with everyone in the swamp. This story takes place in two different areas of Ohio. I'm a tall 18-year-old male who used to stay in the suburbs. My house was on half of an acre of land, with woods about a football field away from the house in the back. I was up late like usual playing video games, listening to music, when I got the urge to go smoke and calm myself down from the frustration of the game I was grinding on. I grabbed my jacket since it's mid-February and pretty cold outside. I open my back door, next to the screen door, easing it shut so it doesn't slam and wake everyone up. I pack my bong and light up a cigarette, enjoying the stars and the silence. As I'm midway through my smoke break, I become uneasy and feel as if there's something around me. I realize how silent it is, and there is no wind, no animal noises, not even a car driving by. I stare at my garage, which is about 20 yards from my back porch, searching for whatever is making me feel as if I'm being watched. I scan the backyard, trying to adjust to how dark it is. My eyes spot a dark figure next to an old boat that's on the backside of the garage. Walking behind the boat, emerging from the back left side of it in between the jet skis and the boat, I step closer from my porch towards the wall that blocks the porch from the backyard, trying to get a better view. Deer are very common in the area I live in, and I would see them almost every day, but this deer went from walking on all fours to going behind the boat and standing on its hind legs. I felt instantly terrified seeing this, but couldn't help but pull my phone out to record it. As I open my camera, keeping my eyes on the figure, it slowly turned to face me. Unfortunately, I had been stupid and hadn't started recording before I freaked out and froze. When I saw its face, I knew I was in trouble. Its beady red eyes stared deep into my soul, making my legs tremble and my heart pound in my head. I kept the camera on it, but like I said, I was too stupid and didn't realize I didn't hit the red button. I couldn't move. I couldn't turn back to go inside. All I could do was tremble. After a few seconds, which felt like hours passed, it let out a scream so loud that I had to... I unfroze from the fear, and it began to sprint towards me, causing me to run inside, not caring if the door slammed and I woke up everybody. I locked the back door and began turning out all the lights. I started to peer through the sliding door blinds in my dining room to try to observe the creature, but I did not see anything. I sat there silently waiting before I got the courage to go lay down. It took me about 2 hours to finally fall asleep. 2 months later, I moved to Springfield in the middle of nowhere, with woods surrounding my house going on for about 10 acres. My house is on a hill of 595 feet. It's about 8 p.m., and the sun is starting to set. I grab my bag and jacket and decide to go off and take a walk in the woods while smoking a joint. I'm walking on a trail, listening to music, puffing my joint, enjoying nature, when I see a coyote. This coyote is much bigger than the other ones I have seen around this place, but I figured it's cause I'm in the country. Curiosity always kills the cat, so I crept down and moved closer, as quiet as possible, creeping towards it, wanting to get a better look. I noticed its legs were bent as if they were broken, and its skin looked as if it had been cut off and stitched back on. Its fur looked like it was missing in many pieces. The entire time I moved, it faced the other way, towards where I was walking, and didn't even move a muscle or glance at me. It struck me as odd how it hadn't even moved. Out of nowhere, I get smacked by this awful smell. It was like a bus had hit me. It smelled like an animal died and was just out here for months decaying, and it made me gag, grabbing my mouth to be quite honest. I had to try to grab my mouth so I didn't throw up and to muffle the sound. As I did this, this coyote thing turned its head, peering over its shoulder at me. Its eyes were so human-like, but red and terrifying. I almost actually crapped myself. I turned, knowing I shouldn't stay here, and started to book it back down the trail the way I had come when I heard it again. The awful, ear-piercing shriek, like a fox being brutally murdered by a hound. It only gets louder as I hear hooves trampling on the trail behind me, like I'm being chased by the devil itself. My heart is beating in my head, and my throat is so dry I feel as if I can't breathe, but all I care about doing is getting the heck out of here. I reach the end of the trail after running for probably 4 or 5 minutes, and sprint up to my long driveway, not daring to look around, not for a second. I bust inside the door and slam it, shutting it and locking it, breathing so heavy, trembling in fear. I hear my dogs in the living room howling so loud, going insane as if someone broke in. I hear banging on the door and I jump back, crawling back towards the stairs, feeling sick to my stomach. The banging became more intense and I heard my cousin's voice say, "Hey, it's Dante, come let me in." Tears began to fill my eyes, and my cousin's voice said it again, but in a more distorted voice, like a parrot trying to mimic someone, and it was way more demanding. "Let me in! I want to come in!" I started shouting, "Go away!" knowing it wasn't going to just go away. But I knew this wasn't my cousin, because he visited me last week and left to go home, out of state a couple of days ago. I was full-fledged crying now. I ran upstairs and went to my room, closed the door, and locked it. As the banging continued, I kept on screaming, "Let me in!" I sat on my bed and tried to call my grandma, but the service was just so bad it wouldn't connect at all. Frustrated and upset, I played music and tried to keep my mind off whatever the hell was happening downstairs. Eventually, the banging stopped, and all I heard was silence. I listened to my music and started to play a game on my phone to keep my head straight when I began to hear tapping outside of my window. The tapping sounded like a Sharpie repeatedly being tapped against glass. I didn't dare look out my window. I sat there staring at the curtains, praying whatever that thing was would just leave me alone and that it couldn't make its way in. It eventually just stopped. I just stayed quiet. About an hour later, my grandma came home. She asked if I was okay, because I was pale as a ghost. I just shook my head yes, and didn't really say anything for the rest of the night. That night I didn't dare smoke out my window on the roof like I do every night. I just tried to go to sleep early. I have only shared this story with my coworker, and he believes in all of this stuff. He told me to start listening to channels on YouTube like Swamp Dweller. As I listened, I became more uneasy because these encounters sound so much like mine. When I take smoke breaks, it's out my window, and about the same time at night, I hear the scream really far off in the distance sometimes. I don't know what this thing was, but I hope I never encounter it anymore, and I really hope I don't have to live in the middle of nowhere for very long. I'm a Hispanic female, Mexican to be exact, and this happened on my family's ranch just last night. My family consists of my parents, me, and my little brother. My other brother is at basic training right now for the Air Force. So for now, it's just us. I wanted to sit down and get this all out while I can. I live in New Mexico, the southeastern part, right on the Texas state line. Literally, probably 10 minutes east and you're in Texas. Anyways, I live 15 miles outside of my hometown, and 8 miles away from the town over. My family has a cattle ranch and I live just off of the highway. So people coming on a ranch are usually people we know. I think I live in the safest place anyone could possibly live, with little to no worry about someone wanting to cause my family and I harm. Well, last night proved me wrong. Let me briefly explain the layout to my place. We have the main entrance with the ranch name and cattle guard. Then to the right, a few hundred feet over, is the gate we use for the cattle when they're being moved. But once you come to our land, we have a giant silver barn, and attached to it is an overstay house where the workers could go and stay overnight during harvesting seasons. Then it's my house, a little ways away, about a 2 to 3 minute walk. Anyway, my mom's cousin from Mexico is renting the overstay house from my parents while he works here in the US for privacy reasons, We'll just call him Antonio for the story. So, last night around 8 p.m., it was thunderstorming when Antonio heard a knock at the door. "Come in," he said, assuming it was either my mom or dad. But no. In walked a dirty-looking white man, about 5'9", with a goatee that was obviously tweaking and talking really fast, which obviously scared Antonio, seeing as he doesn't speak English. So, Antonio calls my dad and told him, "Hey, there's some guy here in the apartment, and I don't know what he wants or how to get him out." Right away, my dad drives to the apartment with his gun and demanded to know what business that man had on our land. "They told me to come to talk to you." "Who sent you to come to talk to me?" It was a talking dog. He wanted me to warn y'all that the world is going to end, and your dogs are, they're talking to me too. Referring to my two dogs, Sheba and Sombra, who were barking and growling at him like crazy. "Look, friend, I think it's best you get off my property." Yeah, I should leave." He then proceeds to hop the cattle guard gate, and my dad calls the sheriff department and explained what was happening, and if this man didn't get off our property, my dad was going to make sure he didn't leave breathing. After this phone call, my dad and Antonio are just looking at the man on the other side of the gate. He was flailing his arms around like tweakers do, talking at the top of his lungs. Then he did the most ungodly thing. He started screaming demonically. He then proceeded to start running down the highway. The things he was yelling, though, they were unholy. I don't think I can even repeat them. Once the police came, they told my dad they had gotten calls about him, and apparently he lived close by to our ranching community. Great. We have a crackhead neighbor. My dad just told them he better not come on our property again, because my dad said he doesn't know him, he's not welcome, and he doesn't know his intentions, and he's not scared to shoot him if any of us feel threatened. The sheriffs then left and everyone got ready for bed. Then, early this morning, around 3 a.m., Antonio called my dad again, panicked because the man was knocking on the apartment door. He was holding a gun. My dad got up and told my mom to call the police. When my dad got to the apartment, the man was going through Antonio's truck, and once he saw my dad, he booked it again. My dad was raging. He told the police if he went further than the apartment and got anywhere near our home and went through our vehicles, he was definitely not going to hesitate to take a shoot. He was warning them now. "We don't have a security system. We just locked the front and back door, and we never felt the need to lock our vehicles until today. We do, however, have a few security cameras, one facing the main entrance of our vehicles and one by the front door. We also have one facing where our cattle and horses are. Unfortunately, my dogs are all bark and no bite. Sheba is about 7 years old and is a lab mix. Sombra is almost 2 and she's a red heeler. The dogs are mostly on our porch watching the cattle and barking at whoever comes through the main entrance. But I think, now, my old school Mexican parents are going to have to finally invest in a security system instead of thinking a locked door and the porch light will scare away others." This is a memory of the single most terrifying event that three of my friends experienced during the summer after our junior year in high school. I was very close to becoming a part of the tale myself, but a scheduled shift at the movie theater saved me. They showed up at my house earlier that day asking if I wanted to go with them into the woods to explore an area which they had yet to search. But I had to work later that evening, so I had to decline. It's been over 25 years since this occurred. Therefore, not all that happened can be remembered, but I will do my best. Looking back now, that may have completely changed my life if I went. I could positively say things have changed greatly for kids. My neighborhood was its own self-contained city on the edge of the city limits. At the end of the 60s, some idealistic developers got the crazy idea to buy up hundreds of rolling acres of prairie and forest land out in the middle of nowhere. He created a little suburban sprawl for the coming rise of the manufacturing period, and the people needed to fill those jobs. The factories did come, Johnson & Johnson, Folgers Coffee, places such as that. But within 30 years, they would begin to leave just as quickly. The children of these factory workers found themselves separated from their peers in the rest of the city, and, with nothing better to do, took to the woods surrounding them to explore and discover nature, much as their distant ancestors who settled there had done before. I was one of these children, and so were my three friends who would make the discovery on one of these journeys into the woods. Without me along, they took to the fields opposite the new highway. These stretched for miles back then, and during this summer were laying fallow. Our part of Texas rides the line between prairie land and riparian forest. You may find yourself walking for miles on open land only to discover acres upon acres of woods between the next field. After walking for miles across nothing, they came upon a forest area most of us had never explored. A path to an abandoned barn. When they turned the corner to look inside of it, they came face to face with the corpse of a hanged man. From what I was told later, not one of them believed it to be real at first. However, as they got closer, there was no longer any doubt. The body was that of a trucker who had parked his 18-wheeler at the nearby truck stop around Christmas. He walked the 3 or so miles into the woods and ended his life. To this day, no one knows if he knew that barn was there or he had just happened upon it. But we do know, on that hot, humid summer day, his bloated body posed a horrific sight to them. Realizing someone was likely missing him, my friend returned to the very same truck stop he had walked away from the year before and called the cops. Of course, I didn't hear about this until the next day. Even though it did sound like an amazing adventure, I'm thankful I had to sit it out. All three of them went on to different levels of legal and emotional trouble, including battles with drug addiction. The only one left living, actually, is my friend Steven, who has spent several stints in and out of institutions the last time we spoke. He was, definitely not the child that I had been friends with. I can't claim that the discovery of the truckers' bodies was the only reason for their eventual decline, but it most certainly contributed to it. Wow. These were some really creepy stories. Next time I go out and visit my parents who live out in the middle of nowhere, I'm gonna be sure that I keep an extra flashlight and my SIG on my waist, because I'm not gonna be caught up with no spookies out there in the middle of nowhere like this. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it truly helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications. Make sure you turn on all notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. Do you have a story that you would like to share in a future video? Have you encountered something creepy out in the woods? Have you seen a cryptid creature? Maybe something different? Be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories and bring them with you everywhere you go, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find podcasts online. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp. We are on our way to 175,000 subscribers. That's insane. And I couldn't thank you guys enough. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.